Blessed folks we are today. Praise God. Well, the title of this sermon is There Really Only One Way to Heaven. Is there? Is that true? We believe that? What did Jesus say about it? There's the verse right there in John 14 and 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Do we believe what Jesus said? Yes. But yet, you'll often hear people say something like this. I cannot believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Because if that's true, then the majority of the folks in the world are going to hell, and I just can't believe in a God that would be that mean and intolerant. Folks say that. There was an episode on television, y'all remember a TV show with this man in it, Phil Donahue? There was an episode on the Donahue show in which Phil Donahue interviewed a Baptist theologian named Dr. Albert Mahler. I've got some of his books in my office. They're excellent. He also interviewed with Dr. Mahler a Jewish Messianic Christian named Dr. Michael Brown, a Jewish man who had given his heart to Jesus. And also then just a Jewish rabbi named Shmuley Boteach. So Donahue looks at these three men, and he looks at them and says, do you believe Gandhi went to heaven? And Dr. Brown, the Jewish Messianic Christian, responded, and he said, I'm not Gandhi's judge, but if Gandhi rejected Jesus, then he's not good enough to get in. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. We need help. We need salvation. And Donahue looked at him and said, but you're telling Jews that they're not going to heaven. And this Messianic Jewish Christian, Dr. Brown, said, I'm telling Hindus. I'm telling Gentiles. I'm telling Catholics. I'm telling Protestants. That without Jesus, you're not going to heaven. Then the Jewish rabbi, Mr. Boteach, he spoke up and said, speaking of this Messianic Jewish Christian man, Dr. Brown, he said, he's an equal opportunity offender. You know, if Jesus were alive today, I think he would take Reverend Mahler and Dr. Brown to court for character assassination. They took the Prince of Peace and made him into the torturer in chief. They took someone who was supposed to redeem, you know, the world and made him someone who demands that mankind do what he wants them to do, to worship him. They made Jesus into someone who sits in the heavens as some sort of blackmailer in chief, saying, I'm going to torture you, I'm going to fry you in a wok or murder you, all because you don't believe in me. Irrespective of how you believe, Phil, that's an abomination. Do you hear the words of that Jewish rabbi? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying that the church has taken the teachings of Christ and made it look as if you don't believe in me, you're going to burn in hell. But you know, Jesus had some comments on that subject. He had some very specific comments. If you look with me at Mark 9 and 43, if you look at that scripture right there, it says, if your hand causes you to sin, what do you do? Cut it off. It's better for you to enter the life maimed rather than having two hands and go to hell than the fire that shall be never quenched. What is Jesus saying? That there is a fire that never quenches, and there is a hell waiting for those that don't trust in him. Matthew 23 and 33, Jesus again is speaking. He's speaking to the folks that were rejecting him, the religious leaders. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Those are the words of Christ. And this Jewish rabbi is quite uninformed, isn't he, on this subject, especially when he speaks of what Jesus thought about it. Later, by the way, in the Donahue program, Donahue lectured the Messianic Jew, Dr. Michael Brown, he lectured him. He says, "You're trying to convert all your Jewish friends to Christianity," as if that was a bad thing. And Dr. Brown explained that by telling others about his faith in Christ, that his faith in Jesus, to tell folks about Jesus, that that is the mandate of Christianity. And then Donahue cut to the chase. He said, "You can tell me about it, but you can't stand there and righteously tell me that you know what's good for me. And you sure can't tell me that there's only one way for me to get to heaven. Nobody is that smart. Nobody." Well, you know, the rabbi's comments already had been critical, and now Donahue is being critical. And Dr. Michael Brown and Dr. Moeller are in that show, and they are being obedient and consistent to the Word of God and the commandment of God for us to tell others about Christ as the only way to heaven, and Christ is the only way to God. There are five common objections to those that insist that faith in Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to God. Those five objections are, number one, they'll say, "You're being intolerant." Number two, they'll say, "Exclusivity promotes hate. You're full of hate." Number three, they'll say, "How can so many people be wrong?" Meaning the majority always has to be right. Number four, "Well, all religions are basically the same," which is a lie. And then number five, "It's unfair. It's unfair for God to send people to hell just because they hadn't believed in Jesus." Those five major objections to the truth that Christ is the only way to God and the only way to heaven. Let me break it down for a moment this morning, and let's look at each one of those objections. You're being intolerant. In our politically correct culture today, that you realize that the greatest evil, they claim, the greatest evil isn't theft, isn't murder, isn't rape, it's not brutality, it's not hate, it's not incest. The greatest evil is intolerance. You can accuse me of anything, but don't call me intolerant, because that's a pretty low, terrible thing to be, intolerant. People are willing to tolerate any viewpoint. Now listen to this carefully. The people in the world are willing to tolerate any viewpoint except the one that says this is the only truth. They can't tolerate that. They can't stand that. Our sign out front, if you've noticed this, is "Truth seems like hate to those who hate the truth." There's a lot of wisdom in that sign. When a Christian or a student group was sharing the gospel on campus at Stanford University in California a few years ago, the dean of Stanford University was very angry. He ordered those students to stop proselytizing other students. Now, his anger wasn't with the content of what those Christian students were saying. His anger was the practice of sharing their beliefs. And the reason is this: when a Christian approaches a non-Christian with the gospel, with the good news of Jesus Christ, the implication is that the Christian's beliefs are superior. So the Christian is guilty of the unpardonable sin, the sin of intolerance. The dean of the university was angry because he thought because these kids were sharing that Christ was the only way to truth and happiness and to heaven and to Heavenly Father, that they were intolerant, that they were full of hate, and he didn't like that, or ordered them to stop. You think about this. The fact that we want to share Christ with a lost and dying world, the world looks at that work that we are called to do as Christians, to share the good news of Christ. The world looks at those things through the lens of political correctness. And they see that as an act of us being intolerant. Because we, according to the Word of God, because we know that we have the truth, the world reacts to you and I as if we're idiots, as if we're pinheads, as if we're just know-nothings at all. In our politically correct world, all religions and all beliefs, all of them, in our politically correct world, they're all okay. In our politically correct world, all truth is relevant, they think. All truth is relevant. Your beliefs, my beliefs, they're all equal. That's how the world looks at it. And if you dare think and you dare speak that the truth of the Bible, that salvation is only in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and you say that is the only truth, then you are an intolerant pinhead. And that's how the world looks at it. You're being intolerant when you make that declaration. The second objection, exclusivity, promotes hatred. According to some folks, the claim that your religion, your faith, is the only way to God, they claim that because you say that and you believe that, not only does it promote intolerance, but it also promotes hatred. They say it promotes hatred of those who don't share your beliefs. Just listen to the words of this same Jewish rabbi, Boteach, when he was on the Larry King show. Y'all remember the Larry King show? He's on Larry King. Now, Larry King didn't say that. I'm just putting his name up there. It was his show. But these are the words of the rabbi. I'm absolutely against any religion that says that one faith is superior to another. I don't see how that is any different than spiritual racism. It's a way of saying that we're closer to God than you, and that's what leads to what? Hatred. They're saying that when we believe Christ is the only way, we're people of hate. So today, if you say there is no absolute truth, if you were to say there is no absolute truth, then in the politically correct world around you, they would look at that comment and say, well, there's a lot of wisdom there. Oh, there's a lot of virtue there. That's not a weakness to say that all truths are equal. Because someone that says that only one truth is the right truth, they not only are intolerant, but they're full of hate. Let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. After the 2001 September 11th terrorist attacks on the United States in New York City in the Pentagon, not long after that, former President Bill Clinton addressed the students at Georgetown University just outside of Washington, D.C., and he blamed the terrorist attacks on America's arrogant self-righteousness. Did you hear that? He blamed the terrorist attacks on America's arrogant self-righteousness. Look at the words of President Clinton. If only both sides could realize that there is no such thing as what? Absolute truth. Perhaps this catastrophe could have been avoided if you Christians weren't so determined to tell everybody that there is an absolute truth and that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We could have been avoided this catastrophe, and these people would have never attacked our nation. That's what he's saying. He goes on to say, nobody's got the truth. You're at a university which basically believes that no one ever has the whole truth ever. We are incapable of ever having the whole truth. He's totally missed it, hasn't he? He's totally lost. If he thinks because we proclaim the truth of the gospel, because we believe in the words of Jesus, that there is no other road to heaven but through Jesus Christ, that because of that, we're stirring up hatred. And we're to blame even for people attacking us. What a sad thing it is. What a terribly sad thing is. The deceit of the enemy is so strong. And we can see that deceit even today filtering into churches all over America with the ideal that, well, exclusivity, translates into hatred. It doesn't. What our truth says is that we love Jesus. We have the love of Jesus in our hearts, and we need that love to share that love with others. That's what we're really saying. We can deceive the deceit. We can see the lies. For example, not only in saying that Jesus is the only truth. But we can see the deceit and the lies when the world mocks us as Christians, when we stand for other truths in the Bible, such as we stand for abortion, when we stand for the godly biblical definition of marriage. Because we stand for those things, then the world looks at us as if we are narrow-minded, small-minded pinheads. They're saying, well, you're being intolerant. Because you're being intolerant, because you have this ideal of exclusivity about the truth, then you're also full of hatred. We're looking at comments and ideals that oppose the statement that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Look at this third response. How can so many people be wrong? Maybe we've thought about that at times in our own lives. We've wondered, how can so many people be wrong? But behind this statement, by the way, behind it is the assumption that the minority is generally in the wrong and that the majority is generally in the right. A man was once preaching, he was once a colleague, a preaching colleague of Billy Graham. But he left the ministry, he became an agnostic. And he summarized things this way. He said, Christians or a small minority in the world. Approximately 4 of every 5 people on the face of the earth believe in gods other than the Christian God. More than 5 billion people who live on earth revere or worship more than 300 gods. Are we to believe only Christians are right? This man's an agnostic. He's bought into that idea that since the majority of the people don't believe in Christ, then how could we dare say that we've got the only truth when so many millions and billions of people would be lost? You know, the fact is, statistics show that roughly 25% of the population of the world even claim to be a Christian. And I suspect that the number of true followers following Christ is probably even less than that 25%. What did Jesus have to say, by the way? What did Jesus say? Look at what he said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. What is he saying? Broad. The destruction is broad and there's many going that pathway. And the pathway to truth is a narrow, narrow one. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Those are the words of our Savior. He understood that. He understood that the majority would reject the message and that only few would find it. Jesus is telling us, it's like this image shows us, this one person is on the straight and narrow, exit 1. He made the right exit, didn't he? He wasn't listening to the GPS. He was listening to the Holy Spirit. He's listening to the GPS of the Holy Spirit is what he's listening to. Let's say it that way. He got on the right exit. He's on the right pathway. Where's all the other folks going? They're going the wrong direction. They're going to miss. That's the very words of Christ. He's making that point. Look at this next image. It's a better ideal. Christ is the better way. What's the better way? See the little path? It's not even a paved road, but it's leading to the glory of heaven, the promise of heaven. The other highway, where's it going? It's going to the flames of hell. That's the very perception that Christ gave us in his own words. And many of those in hell, by the way, they'll be religious folks. They'll be religious people who mistakenly thought that they were destined for heaven. By the way, in the same passage that I just read, about Christ talking about many that would go to destruction and few that find the truth. He went on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Many folks think because they just recognized God, or they recognized Christ as truth, but they never invited Jesus to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart and be their Savior. They think they're on the road to heaven. They think because they're a good person, they're on the road to heaven. So many opponents of Christianity, they think that they win the argument against the exclusivity of the gospel by pointing out the obvious conclusion that if Christianity is true, and it is, they say if Christianity is true, that every other religion then is wrong, and the majority of the people in the world are going to hell. And they're saying that just can't be right. They say that's too terrible to be true. That's intolerant. You Christians, you are so intolerant. You're just twisting the Bible to support bigotry. That's how they try to deal with us when we tell the truth. But the Bible reminds us of a truth also in Romans 12 and 1. They became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That happens all around us. Their hearts are darkened. Satan loves to promote every false religion. He loves to promote every lie about the truth. He loves to encourage the belief that if the majority doesn't believe in the gospel, then all those other folks certainly can't be wrong, can they? That's the lies from the pits of hell. Those are the lies of Satan. The Bible reminds us that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. We know Satan is a liar. He's the father of all lies. And his chief aim, his chief goal, is to turn people away from the only source of eternal life, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. The multitudes of religions and the accompanying billions of people who follow those false religions really, sadly, just show more evidence of what Jesus said is truth, that many will go the wrong way and few will find the truth. And then the fourth objection that we look at this morning, well, there's a scripture there. I'm going to save that scripture. The fourth objection, all religions teach basically the same thing. You believe that? All religions, that's an argument out in the world. Well, all religions are about the same. You know, believe in a God, do good, and you'll have eternal life. What do you mean yours is the only truth? The crux of this argument kind of goes like this. No religion can claim to be the only way to God since they're really all teaching the same truth. That's a lie, isn't it? Of course it is. Only a person who is ignorant of the teaching of the major religions of the world would make such a statement, by the way. Now, there's some similarities, but that's all there is. For example, the Hindus. The Hindus worship more than 300 gods. Hindus think that man's biggest problem is failing to recognize ourselves as divine beings, that we're all gods. And you can defeat this problem if you'll just practice the four yogas. That's what they teach. You'll find peace if you do that. What about the Buddhist? Well, Buddha was a dissatisfied follower of Hinduism. So he decided to develop his own brand of religion built on the idea that the basic problem that we have as human beings is the desire for pleasure and the desire for status and the desire for the necessities of life. And according to the teachings of Buddha, the only way we can ever stop our cravings is to enter into what he calls nirvana. And you get into nirvana by following the noble eightfold path that he lays down for people to follow. What about Islam? Islam was introduced in the 7th century. They worship Allah. It's not the same God we worship. They'll tell you it is, but it's not. They'll tell you they worship Allah, and if you want to go to heaven, you follow the laws of Allah. Well, how do you find out what the laws of Allah are? Well, the laws of Allah have been revealed by God's prophet, a fellow named Muhammad. Muhammad, the leader of the religion of Islam, married and forcefully raped little girls and defended it as acceptable since he claimed they were his wives. What does that say about that religion? Judaism claims that rigid obedience to the law is the only path to righteousness and heaven. You notice as well, I went through a brief summary of each of these religions. They're all dependent on human effort. Every one of them is dependent on human effort. But Christianity, our faith in Christ, it claims that salvation is an unearnable gift from our Heavenly Father, that we receive this gift by accepting Christ's atoning work on Calvary and His shed blood and believing in Him as our Savior, believing in Him as the Son of God for the remission of our sins and putting our faith in Him. All religions are not the same. They're not the same, and they don't all teach the same truths, do they? Not a bit. The fifth objection that folks make is that, well, it's unfair for God to send people to hell just because they haven't believed in Jesus. Have you ever heard that? That couldn't be fair. Well, God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't send people to burn in hell just because they haven't believed in Jesus. But the book of Romans tells us in Romans 1, 19 through 21, this is the Living Bible. Look at what the Word of God tells us. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Since earliest times, men have seen the earth and sky and all that God made and have known of His existence and great eternal power. So they will have no excuse when they stand before God at judgment day. Listen to what that's saying. Their hearts and their minds, God has formed mankind to know Him instinctively. And that they see the wonders of the universe and know that there's a God. Verse 21 says, yes, they knew about Him all right, but they wouldn't admit it or worship Him or even thank Him for all His daily care. And after a while, they begin to think up silly ideas of what God was like, what He wanted them to do. The result was that their foolish minds became dark and confused. So the Bible gives us an important answer to this concern over folks that have never heard the gospel message. They're going to be innocently sent to hell. This Word of God says exactly that is not true, is it? Because it's in their hearts. God instinctively gives it to them. If they would just reach up and begin to have faith in the one true God. God has already spoken to their hearts. These verses, these ones that we just read right now this morning, declare that God puts that knowledge of Him in man's heart, and that's instinctive. And that it also says that they have no excuse on judgment day. No excuse, according to the Word of God. This discussion of Christ is the only way to heaven, the only way to our Heavenly Father, it comes down to the most important event in the history of mankind. You know what that event is. It's Jesus' death on that cross. Jesus' death on that cross. It's the cross. It's the cross. Let me get to it here. There it is. It's the cross that's the bridge for all mankind, to take us from this world to the world of heaven. It's the cross that carries us over the darkness and the fires of hell into that home that God's prepared for you and me in heaven to be with our Savior Jesus. It's the cross. It's the power of the message of the cross. When we declare that God loved us, He loved us so much that He gave His Son that came and willingly suffered and died. So great was His love for you and for me. That's the message of the gospel. That's what we say to those that object to our message that Christ is the only way to heaven. He's the only way for salvation. He's the only way for eternal life. His suffering and death because of our Heavenly Father's love has been made an atonement for our sins. It's the message of the cross. It's the power of the gospel is the message of the cross. And there's nothing we can say to those that object that is more powerful than to remind them of the cross and the love of God and the sacrifice of Jesus willingly hanging for hours in pain on that cross for you and for me. Well, next week we're going to stay on this subject. Is there really only one way to heaven? I'm going to dig a little bit deeper in what we would say to believers, how we could respond to believers Obviously, the greatest response is the response I just gave you this morning. This is the message of the cross. But there's some other things I want to share with you. I think that will better equip us all to be better soul winners, to be able to overcome objections, and to be able to speak the truth of the Word of God into the hearts of men and women that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that what God wants all of us to do? To be soul winners, to carry as many people with us to heaven as possible. So be in prayer for that, and be in prayer that God will just put that passion in our hearts, that every person we see, we're thinking, I wonder if they know Christ. I wonder what I can say or do to help them know Jesus as their Savior.